Okay. Well, we're continuing with this series that we've been pivoting off of the ek preposition. And last week we finished off after several weeks of looking at the Greek phrase out from dead ones. And so we want to move on to another Greek phrase that uses the ek preposition. And the ek preposition just has the meaning of out from, and we can see it can mean from out from as to place, or out from the midst of as in a group, or out from as to source. And we find in the Greek New Testament we have about 57 occurrences where we find out from heaven or out from the heavens. And so we're not going to go through all of those verses. We're only actually going to go through a few of those verses today, but I'm only going to probably spend two messages looking at this particular Greek phrase. And what I'd like to do today, though, is just consider a few things that we find in Scripture. And one of those is that we have three heavens identified in Scripture. And so many, many times we'll see in Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, where we have heaven in the plural, heavens. And it's pointed plural. And so I just wanted to go through and take a look at a few verses and identify the three heavens. And then, Lord willing, in a message that we would have here in about 2 weeks, we'll come back to out from the heavens and look some more of those verses. And so I mentioned in Scripture we have three heavens that are identified. But first I'd like to turn into our Old Testament. And let's go to Genesis. And let's go to chapter 1 and verse 1. Now, in your King James, you're not going to see the plural, but in the Hebrew, it is plural. And so, in Genesis 1:1, we'll just read, it says, in the beginning, but it's actually, Ann Arthur, it's a beginning, God created the heavens and earth. And so it's plural, heavens. And so, right from our very first verse in the Bible, we have plural heavens being mentioned. And so, it was in the beginning. Now, in Genesis, we have a gap between verses 1 and 2. And so, once we pick up in verse 2, we're not talking about the creation of the earth, but really the renovation of the earth, because at this point the earth was under judgment from the fall of Satan. And so we have that gap between verses 1 and 2. So now I mention that because now when we get over to Genesis 1, 7, and 8, we're talking about the renovation of the earth, the restoration. And so in verse 7, and God made the firmament, or the expanse, and divided the waters which were under the firmament, or the expanse, from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And so here we see this firmament, this expanse between the waters, or the sea, and the waters above, which would be this vapor canopy that produced kind of a greenhouse effect that was ideal for growing. And but this is during the renovation of the earth, and he calls it heaven. So this is would be a reference to what we would call the first heaven. Now let's go. And I think we're just going to look at a few of these. We're just going to keep this devotional today. And now, Darlene, you're even laughing when I say that. let's turn to the book of James, and we'll have an illustration here of in Scripture that's referring to what we call the first heavens. So the first heavens being the atmosphere of the earth, really. And so in James, in chapter 5, in verse 18, and I'll read verse 17 as well. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven, and here it is singular, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And so here we find an articular singular reference to the heaven gave rain. And so I'm just going to take this literally, referring to the first heaven, the earth's atmosphere. Here, the clouds gave rain. Now, we're going to go to the book of Luke for another illustration in the first heaven. I'm sorry, let's go to Luke chapter 13 and verse 19. And so again, just for an illustration here, and this is Jesus, and he says here, it is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew, and it waxed a great tree. And the fowls, now in the King James, you're going to see our word translated air. And it's actually the word heaven. Now, the fowls of the heaven lodged in the branches of it. And so here, you see, again, it's articular, and it's singular, the heaven, the birds of the heaven. And so of the air, it's not a bad translation, but he's talking here that it's the first heaven, the earth's atmosphere. And so just wanted to illustrate that the earth's atmosphere was what we would consider the first heaven. And now I mentioned Scripture identifies three heavens. And so I want to, again, let's go back to our Old Testament. And let's go back into the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 28 and verse 62. And so in this context, here we have just it's a warning against disobedience, and we're going to have a reference to the second heavens, but it is in a plural. So let's read in Deuteronomy 28, verse 62. Well, I'll pick up the 61. And also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, then will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed, and you shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of. And let's see, this is the stars of the heavens for a multitude. And so here he's talking about the stars of the heavens. And so the second heavens happen to be from the earth's atmosphere to the perimeter of the universe, which includes the stars. And so here he's saying they were as the stars of the heavens. And so it's interesting, in the Old Testament we consistently find this word in the plural. And so from man's point of view, when we look up and we see the stars, we are looking through the first heaven into the second heaven. And so we have the stars. And so the Hebrew language is kind of an agricultural language, and they use the description here from a man's point of view of the heavens, the stars of the heavens, because from our point of view, we are looking up at night, and you're looking through the first heaven into the second heaven, and you see the stars. Now let's go for another illustration. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 12. It's kind of interesting. Over in Hebrews 11, 12 here, we're going to see this in the Greek in the singular. So Hebrews 11, 12. Okay, let me pick up in verse 11. It says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there one, even of one, and him as good as dead. So many as the stars of the sky. And so here they've translated it sky, and it's our, just the Greek word in the singular, the heaven. The stars of the heaven in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. But the stars of the heaven. And so I believe this would be just a nice clean reference to the second heaven. And it is in the singular. Let's go back into our Old Testament. And let's go back to the Abrahamic covenant, which would have relevance for us. So that was just a quiz. And you would find that, of course, in Genesis chapter 15 would be an Abrahamic covenant, but that would be number one. I'm thinking of number four, which would put us in 22. So in Genesis 22, and so we're going to see this used in Genesis 22. We're going to see heavens in plural in 15. And then we're also going to see this reference in verse 17. And an angel in Genesis 22:15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven. And it just literally here from the heavens. And so it is pointed articular in the Hebrew, and it is plural, and it's got the Hebrew preposition that just means from. And so the Lord called unto Abram from the heavens the second time. And so, and said, by myself have I sworn, says the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed. Now this seed is singular, and so I'm just going to point that out because that should give you a clue to who this seed is in reference to. As the stars of the heavens. And so this singular seed is going to be multiplied as the stars of the heavens. Plural. And as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed, singular, shall possess the gate of his enemies. Now, who is that seed? Christ. The hint with singular seed is going to be multiple. So this is a reference to Christ. He's going to possess the gate of his enemies. And by thy seed shall all the nations on earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now we're right here. Let me just go back, because Paul clarifies this verse over in the book of Galatians, in Galatians 3:16. So let's go ahead and take a look at that. In Galatians 3:16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And so this is in reference to the verses we just read. He says, and he saith, not unto seeds, plural, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And so here he identifies the singular seed that we saw in Genesis 22:17 as Christ. He was the singular seed that will be multiplied as the stars of the heavens and the sands upon the seashore. Now, we know that we're a part of that number because we're in Christ. And so you see that over in, of course, Galatians 3:29. It says, and if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Okay, so I wanted to get back to our illustration. And so we looked at a couple things where we see a reference to the first heaven, the Earth's atmosphere, the air. And then we've considered the second atmosphere where we find, which would be outside the Earth's atmosphere and expand all the way through the universe, would be considered the second heaven. Now, I said there were three heavens. And Scripture identifies three heavens. And so, first place I want to go is I want to take you back into the book of Acts. And so I want to take you into Acts in chapter 7. And so here we're going to take a look at this context where we have the stoning of Stephen. And prior to the stoning of Stephen, we see Stephen speaking to this group, the council here. Let's pick up in verse 47, Acts 7:47. But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. And so here, in verse 49, they translate this as singular in the Greek. It says, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, says the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? It says, has not my hand made all these things? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, do you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did? So do ye. So Stephen here, he's been born along by the Holy Spirit. He has some pretty sharp things to say. And you're going to see that the response isn't going to be kind. In verse 52, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers. who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. That doesn't sound too kind. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly. And then here we have this in the singular, into the heaven. He looked up steadfastly into the heaven. And he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And so he looks steadfastly into the heaven, and he sees the Lord here standing on the right hand of God. And so I believe this is a reference to the third heaven. And now I'm going to show you why, or some other places that will support this, that this is the third heaven. So let's go ahead and continue reading our context. In verse 56, now we find heavens in the plural. And said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened." And so here I believe from his perspective, Stephen saw, he got telescopic vision. And the first heaven, there was no problem seeing through. Telescopic vision right through the second heaven, and he's looking right into the third heaven. And so this is what he's describing. "And the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord." So they kind of all agreed in their reaction to what Stephen was saying here. "And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet." So they laid down their clothes here, their cloaks, at a young man's feet. Well, take a look at who this young man is who's standing by witnessing, probably giving his approval to what these guys just did to Stephen, whose name was Saul. Now, this would be our same Saul who became Paul, the steward of the dispensation of grace. "And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord..." And they stoned Stephen, and he was calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and he cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So the sleep of death. And so here he was stoned to death. And we see Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul, as standing by and witnessing this, holding these guys' coats while they did the deed. And so, for our illustration, we see here reference to looking into the heaven and the heavens being open. And so here we have a reference to a specific heaven, and then also reference to heavens plural being opened up. And so I believe the specific heaven that he was looking into was the third heaven. Now let's go into the book of Revelation. We want to go to chapter 4. I'm just going to look at two verses here. And in Revelation 4:1 and 4:2. Now both of these references in verse 1 and verse 2 are anarthrous, and they're both singular. So it's talking about a specific heaven. "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven," or in the heaven. "And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, and said, Come up hither, and I will show you the things which must be hereafter." And here John writes in verse 2, "And immediately I was in the spirit," or in spirit, I believe it's in. And behold, a throne was set in the heaven. And so it's articular, it's singular. So it's speaking of a specific heaven. And so I believe this is a reference to the third heaven. And one sat on the throne. And so I believe this is where we find God's throne is in the third heaven. And I believe these would be references to it. Now, if it wasn't for this one verse, some people might want to argue that there's more than two heavens. But Paul tells us something, and so let's go into 2 Corinthians. It's interesting, this is in here, and we class this fairly frequently, but it's oftentimes, I've heard people say, I never knew this. I never saw that verse before. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2, we have mention of the third heaven. Now let's give a little bit of a context here. Paul says, it is expedient for me doubtless to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. He says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Now, let me comment here. Paul wants to share this, but he doesn't want to boast about himself. So he's going to talk about himself in the third person. Now, this 14 years ago, this corresponds to when Paul was in Lystra, 14 years prior, and that would take us back to Acts chapter 14. So hold your finger in 2 Corinthians 12, and let's turn back to Acts, chapter 14. So these people, they had quite a response to Barnabas and Paul, and they were even willing to do a sacrifice on behalf of these guys. And then we pick up in Paul and Barnabas put a stop to that. But in verse 19, it says, and there came there are certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, which is kind of interesting because these guys were just previous to this in the previous context were pretty impressed with Paul and Barnabas. But they persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, dragged him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. And so this, I believe, takes us back into 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I believe this is the experience Paul had when he was stoned and dragged out of the city as dead. And so let's go back to 2 Corinthians 12, 2. And Paul says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body. So right there he tells you he's the person. He says, God knows, such a one caught up. And the word caught up here is our word that means seized or raptured. You could say he was raptured or seized up. It says caught up to or raptured up to the third heaven. And so here we have a reference to the third heaven. Now, there's a little word here, a Greek particle, heos, which means, has the idea to the edge of the third heaven. And so I want to show you that in Scripture. And it is a singular here, to the edge of the third heaven. So that's how I would translate it, to the edge. And so this word that I'm translating or telling you, edge, because it tells you that he didn't actually go into the third heaven, but he went as far as the third heaven. This little word, the Greek word, heos, it means as far as or even to. And so let me show you this word in the Greek, translated a couple different ways. Let's go to Luke 24:50. And so here we're going to see it translated as far as, as far as. And he led them as far as to Bethany. And so up to the edge of Bethany is kind of the idea. He didn't enter into Bethany here, but he led them as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And so I just wanted to show you there, we see it translated though as far as. As far as or up to is kind of the idea. Now we have an interesting translation of this little word that I'm translating to the edge of. In it, and we find that in John 2:7. And this one will really help you see because it has it's translated up to the brim. And so in John 2:7. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And so up to the brim, up to the edge, up to the top, but it's up to the edge there. And so that's a good place to illustrate this word. And so this just kind of helps you to see now when we go back to 2 Corinthians 12:2. Such a one caught up or raptured or seized to the edge, to the brim of the third heaven. And so, but this is the place we can distinctly show that we have three heavens in Scripture. And so now we see what Paul there. He's going to end up being receiving a thorn in the flesh for having had this experience, and kind of remind him. And the Lord, of course, tells him that his grace is sufficient. But let's go on in verse 3 and see what Paul experienced here. I mean, he tells us a little. In verse 3, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up. And so here's our word for raptured again. He was raptured, or he was seized into paradise. And so here we see, this is where you would go to show that Christ has moved paradise to the edge or the brim, the edge of the third heaven here, and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I boast. So Paul says he's going to boast about this one who's experienced this. Yet of myself I will not boast. So Paul's going to boast about himself in the third person, in other words. And he says, but in my infirmities. That's what he's going to boast in, my infirmities. For though I would desire to boast, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he sees me to be, or that he hears of me. So Paul has this experience, and here in verse 7 you're going to see he's visited by an angel of Satan. It says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, an angel of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And we see here this thorn in the flesh really bothered Paul. That this thorn in the flesh, this demon who, this buffeting would probably go back to the stoning in Lystra. And this is something that apparently bothered Paul. It hampered Paul because he asked the Lord three times that it might depart from him. And the Lord's response was that my grace is sufficient for thee. And so we see how the Lord responds to him in verse 9. He says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And then Paul says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather not glory, but boast in my weaknesses, my infirmities, that the power of Christ may tend upon me." And so anyway, we this is where we see our reference to the third heaven. And I believe the third heaven is where we find the throne of God. And so we have these mentioned in Scripture of three heavens. I'm just going to take you to a few other places and to make note of some of the plurals that we have in Scripture. And so let me just take you, let's go back into Psalm, the book of Psalm, and let's go to Psalm 33 and verse 6. So we're going to look at some of the plurals relating to heavens. And so by the word of the Lord, or Jehovah, were the heavens made. And so plural, heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Now let me, let's go over to the book of Colossians. Let's go back into our New Testament and go to Colossians 1:16. And this is going to be, we're going to see heavens in the plural here in Colossians 1:16. "For by him were all things created that are in..." And it is articular, "in the heavens and that are on earth," singular, "visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him," and we'll translate this as "because of him." There's a causal ice here for him, or because of him. And so, "for by him were all things created that are in the heavens." Let's go to the book of Hebrews in chapter 1 and verse 10. And so here we find it articular and plural, and the King James translates it that way. "And thou, Lord, in the beginning has laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands." And so the works of thy hands. And so not even mention of his arm here, which would represent strength. Just the work of his hands. It was just finger work. It was just, it wasn't much as far as his inherent ability is concerned. But again, you see the heavens, plural. Now, I think we'll just, I'm going to go ahead and... you get the idea, though, of the plural used to describe the heavens. We've seen some examples of the heavens, the different heavens, the first, the second, and the third heavens. And this is helpful to have this understanding and this basic knowledge from Scripture when we get to certain verses where we see that Christ in his human body, when he ascended, and he demonstrated deity in a human body to all of creation. There's a couple of verses that I want to take you to, but I wanted you to see these things and have a little bit of the background and understanding of the three heavens identified in Scripture before we went to these verses. But let's go to the book of Hebrews in chapter 4. And I'm just going to read verse 14. And it says, seeing then, or therefore, that we have a great high priest. And it says, and then the King James reads, that is passed into the heavens. Well, this word is just literally passed through. He's come through or passed through. It's a Greek compound word and just has the idea of passed through. I'm going to show you this word in another verse here in just a second. But we have such a great high priest that passed through the heavens. And so the heavens, all of the heavens, he passed through them. And so now remember, God is immense. His essence goes far beyond creation. All of creation lies within his essence. And so only God could pass through the heavens, all three of the heavens, and go outside of time, outside of creation. And our great high priest did this in a human body. Now that would demonstrate something pretty amazing about this person, that he's God. And so then in verse 14 here, I believe this is Paul, he identifies who this great high priest that's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. And so that's a pretty powerful statement there. And so he passed through. Now I wanted to show you, because the King James translated it passed into. And it's just a Greek compound word, diurkamai. But let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 5. And you see this word used two times. And you can kind of get the idea that has the idea of pass through. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 5. And so here they did translate it pass through, by the way. And so here Paul is anticipating being able to see. He says, now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia. And so he's going to pass through it. For I do pass through Macedonia. And so he is passing through Macedonia. And so he is anticipating seeing the Corinthians. But I wanted to, so you see it twice, then both times the King James translates it, pass through. And so I just wanted you to see that, and so you can appreciate that Hebrews 4:14 and what it means. Now I want to take you one other place here, and let's go to the book of Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 10. Let's expand the context out, and I'll pick up in verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And then you see the gifts that he gave following that. But he that descended, though, is the same also that ascended up far above all the heavens. So if you want to say you think there's more than the three heavens that we've been able to identify in Scripture, well, I'll go to this verse and say, he ascended far above all the heavens. Now, I believe there's three, but here it doesn't matter however many there are, because he ascended far above all of the heavens. And the word for that they translated far above, it's a Greek compound word of our huper, which means just over or above, and ana, which means upwards or above, that which is above or higher. And so he ascended beyond above. they translated far above or over and upwards of the heavens. And so here's one of the things that he demonstrated who he is when he ascended through the heavens and far above the heavens. And so that's who our high priest is. That's who the head of the body is the one who's risen out from dead ones and is now seated at the right hand of the Father, whom we are eagerly awaiting out from the heavens to come and to catch us away to meet him in the air. And so next time we'll come back and we'll look at some of the out from the heavens. Like I said, there's 57 of them, and we've maybe hit a couple, but we're not going to look at all of them, but we'll do one more message pivoting off of best phrases in the Greek. Let's close. Father, thank you for the day. We're grateful to be your children. We're thankful for your word, the encouragement we get when we gather together and we can relate to it and relate to one another. May you continue to bless us in special ways and use us where we're at, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.